What think ye of Christ? Jesus cuts through the chatter, he cuts through the commotion, and he challenges their traditions. So we too, as I was recently in Israel, and I went to Greece as well. I stood on Mars Hill, and I saw what Paul was talking about there, that the Lord God dwelleth not in temples made with hands. I don't know if anybody's been there, stood on Mars Hill, but there's a little valley between there and the Acropolis and the Parthenon, and Paul was speaking to the people in that day. He says, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. He's not there. He's not on top of that rock. He's not in the Parthenon. He's dwelling with every single one of us. Hallelujah. And Paul began to speak to them. I saw this inscription. I went down into the agora there and I walked around and I saw this inscription, to the unknown God. And he said to them, that which you ignorantly worship, I'm going to explain who this God is. It was something more than a concept or something more than a tradition. It was something that was a life-giving force that was in him, resident with him. What do we think of the Christ this morning? Praise the Lord. It's a great challenge. And so he comes and he specifically asks us. You remember he first asked the disciples, what do men say of me? What do men say that I am? And, well, some say that you're Moses, some say you're Elias, some say you're this, some say you're that. But then he turns to them, didn't he? What do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Peter, in a blazing revelation, comes out and says, thou art the Son of the living God. Praise the Lord. I relate to Peter so much because a little while after that, Jesus was rebuking him for his satanic tendencies. Anybody else? I went to the Dead Sea while I was in Israel, and I pulled up my pants and I told the people I was with, I said, listen, I'm going to test out whether I can walk on water before I go to the Sea of Galilee right here. And I couldn't. But Peter did. You know, we find fault with Peter so often, don't we? But he had revelations. He experienced things of the Almighty Christ. Yes, there was a failing, but he had his mind set on the things of Christ. He said, if you want me, come jump out of that boat. Now, if I was on a little friendlier platform here, I would jump off. But it's a little high for my knee to make sure it doesn't crumple. What think ye of Christ? Praise the Lord. In Israel, I saw the exhausting and frustrating devotions of men and women in the service of their religion. It was exhausting. Whether it was Muslim, whether it was Jewish, whether it was Catholic or Arminian or some of those traditional religions. And I come away with it, unless there's a sense of vital union and fellowship with the Christ, religion means absolutely nothing. And all it is just wearing them out. And this is the thing that Jesus was trying to combat. What do you really think about the Christ? And they were stumped for an answer. They could only rely on their traditions. They had no life in them. They had nothing to offer. But Jesus was saying, let me tell you about it. Because not only can I tell you about it, but you're not as far ahead as what David was in his day 1,000 years before you. Because David said by the Spirit that this is what is happening. Yahweh said to my Adonai. And so it could not have been the literal descendant of David is what Jesus is trying to get to, But the disciple, I mean, the scribes and the Pharisees were well taught in their traditions that he was going to be the son of David. And he was, but he was so much more. So what do you think of Christ this morning? And the Lord will necessarily have to confront our limited expectations of the Christ. We come to services like this morning, and we get involved in worship, and the Lord begins to expand the horizons of our understanding. May the Lord do that. Hallelujah. Excuse me. So while these scribes and Pharisees answered traditionally, Jesus reminds them. He doesn't say, well, you're absolutely wrong. He just challenges them to think about what the scriptures are really talking about. How then did David in the Spirit call him Lord Adonai? And he quotes out of Psalm 110. And so this was a great challenge to them in their traditions. They've been confronted. But what Jesus is really saying, there's a call here. A call to look at things differently than what your traditional understanding is. There's a call to come up higher. There's a call to experience the life of the Spirit in greater reality. There's a call of God, a beckoning us on to find what David found by dwelling at that moment when he wrote that. We don't know when he wrote that, where in his experience he wrote that. But he wrote it not by his human understanding, but his spiritual anointing and enlightenment. How then does David in the Spirit? And so this is the challenge that we are to have and to find. If we're ever going to respond appropriately to the challenge of God in our lives and in our times. Yes? I don't know another time that in my few years where the challenge to God's ecclesia or ecclesia, I don't know how you say it here, but you know what I'm talking about. There's a great challenge for the church in our times. We are his workmanship, the scripture says, created in Christ Jesus under the good works that he has before ordained that we should walk in them. And so there's something for us in this day to represent the Christ in the earth. There's something specific for our day and our generation. And so if we're ever going to find the reality of Christ in us, this scripture right here, the hope of glory, it's not just for our lives, but it's in our times and in our generation. And if we're ever going to appropriately respond to the challenge of God, we are going to have to contact the Christ which calls us higher and deeper and into the realms of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're going to have to contact the Christ that calls us into the realm and into the arena of God's unsearchableness. How great is God, the scripture says. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. And he begins to call us beyond ourselves into the realms of the Spirit. The Apostle Paul, well, before we get to the Apostle Paul, I'm thinking of Jeremiah, chapter 33, verse 3. Call unto me. And I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things which you know not. I tried to get away from the King James there with the these and the thous. Did you notice? Call unto me. It's not that God is unsearchable in the sense that he can't be found out. He can be found out. He can be searched out. In fact, he asks us to seek him high and low. He wants us to press into him. It is not that he is unsearchable in that sense. is unsearchable in the sense that we will never, ever fully figure him out. There will always be growth. There will always be development in the things of God. And the things that we're going to know beyond this realm are going to be extraordinary compared to what we know now. There's going to be growth and there's going to be development. But we will never, ever come to the limit of who God is. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to keep on going, though. I don't ever want to stop. I want to know. I want my mind to be renewed in the Spirit of the Lord. I want to think about who Christ really is and what he has done, what he has accomplished, and what he will do. Praise the Lord.